I'm Dan Jordan, president of the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, which is a private nonprofit corporation that's owned and operated Monticello since 1923. On behalf of my wife, Lou, on behalf of our family, on behalf of the trustees and the staff of Monticello, in cooperation with the United States District Court for Western Virginia, I welcome you, one and all, to a commemoration of what Thomas Jefferson himself described as, quote, that great charter of our independence, a charter adopted 229 years ago today. That charter, or declaration, became at once a resounding creed of Americanism and, at the same time, an everlasting and universal expression of self-evident truths and unalienable rights. Each 4th of July, for 43 consecutive years, the Foundation has been pleased to sponsor these special proceedings here at Mr. Jefferson's mountaintop home. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Historians of the American Revolution have concluded that whereas George Washington fought for the revolution, Thomas Jefferson thought for the revolution. Here are some of his most enduring thoughts. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new gods for their future security.
Thank you, John Charles. I'm Jeff Walker. I'm chairman of the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, and I welcome you all here today. It is a great day. It's a great day for many of us to remember how special it is to be a citizen of the United States. It's a great day to recognize all the hard work that you petitioners have gone through to become citizens. It's a day I'll personally remember because I took out my son's certificate of citizenship. We adopted my fourth from Korea and held it and showed it to my daughters and sons. My youngest daughter said, "Dad, how come he gets that? Why is he special?" It's a great day to remember that in 1776, on this very day, that Thomas Jefferson and the citizens of the 13 colonies became citizens of the United States. It's a day to remember that Thomas Jefferson died right here on this very day in 1826 after having been a citizen of the United States for exactly 50 years. It's a day to celebrate all the people that in the past have come here from other countries to be citizens of the United States. Two of these people are Speaker I.M. Pei and his wife, Eileen, came to the United States in 1935. They became citizens in 1954 in the Polo Grounds in New York City. I.M. came to the United States from China in 1935 at the age of 17 to attend MIT and Harvard. He worked for several firms, including his own, over the next 70 years. He's designed 60 buildings during his career, including the John F. Kennedy Library in Boston, the modernization of the Louvre in Paris, the 70-story Bank of China Tower in Hong Kong, and the National Gallery of Art in Washington, which was named one of the top 10 buildings in the United States. He holds 16 honorary doctorates and has an amazing number of medals and awards, including the Thomas Jefferson Foundation Medal in Architecture, which he received right here in 1976. He made a special effort to be here with us today, along with his wonderful wife, Eileen, and daughter, Leanne, and her family, and we thank them for being here. Mr. Jefferson had a love of architecture, having designed Monticello and the University of Virginia. It's only appropriate that the world's best architect be here at Monticello to celebrate both the country's birthday and you all as new citizens. It is a great day to celebrate. I give you I.M. Pei.
I have no prepared address for you today, but this is an occasion that I was asked to be present 2 years ago by Adele Chatfield Taylor. I couldn't resist it for reasons you will soon know. The first time I was acquainted with Thomas Jefferson when I was in school studying architecture. And of course, Monticello was everywhere. And yet, Jefferson was not an architect. And that amazed me. So I can't claim to know too much about Jefferson because there's so many Jefferson scholars here today. But I can tell you that back in 1930s, late 30s, I read a book, I don't find it anymore, describing Jefferson's travels in France. There, he studied not just architecture, which he knew better than all of us, but he also was interested in food and wine. Ah, here's a man of culture. Ever since then, he's been on my heart. I say, here's a man any one of us, especially architects, would like to emulate. So I do have a connection with this great man. And that connection started late, perhaps, because I came to America 71 years ago. I want to tell you something about that experience of mine, because I think it may be appropriate for some of you. I hear there are 75 of you here today. I left Shanghai in 1935 on a boat called President Coolidge. It took us 18 days to cross the Pacific. But the last day, I didn't sleep. I was on deck watching for San Francisco Bay. And when it appeared, it's a moment I tell you I have never experienced again. A moment of great joy, expectation, excitement. I was alone in some ways because my family was not with me, but I felt very much part of something already. Now, the name of the island, if I remember correctly, is called Angel's Island, where I landed. Not Ellis Island, that many of you probably came. But it could have been Devil's Island, and my reaction would have been the same. That sense of joy is unbelievable and difficult to describe. Now, since then, I was very lucky, because in those days, to be an American citizen was very, very difficult, much more difficult than today, I think. And we labor here, my wife and I, labor through the war, because there was a war going on, and I couldn't return to my native country because there too was a war going on. So not until 1954 I was received. My application was accepted. And there were 5,000 of us, not 75, in Polo Grounds in New York. Now, speeches longer than this. And after having taken the oath of application of citizenship, and then pledged the allegiance to the flag, and we sang the national anthem. At the end of that, believe it or not, there were several minutes of silence, absolute silence. None of us expected that, because that was a moment of great emotion for all. Applause came after that. It was thundering, because Polo Grounds was a big place, and there were many of us, and many of them were refugees from Europe. Now, that experience does compare, I think, in some ways with yours. Time has changed. The place, however, is different. My experience is in Polo Grounds, and it's an arena, big, big place. Yours is here. I think the hallowed grounds of Thomas Jefferson, how lucky are you? So not only can you think of your individual experience to compare with mine, but you also will not forget that you receive your citizenship here at Monticello. Before Jefferson took office, 1800 or 1801, he was not entirely in favor of immigration, because the country was small then. To absorb a wave of people coming from different culture, different forms of government, might disrupt this nation. Very, very thoughtful idea. But soon afterwards, after he retired from presidency, in fact, even during presidency, he asserted the rights of citizenship in 1801 as a law of nature, as he called it. Then I remember in 1806, he thought and he wrote, I think, about the expatriation, which means immigration, I guess, is also a natural thing to happen in that world at that time, very early, 200 years ago. And in 1821, in his autobiography, he reasserted again and again the right of expatriation. So therefore, you have that to remember, the man, as well as your own history. I feel very, very proud today to be here for the same reason I just mentioned to you, because I'm also with you at Monticello. Thank you very much.
All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States District Court for the Western District of Virginia is now in session and open for the transition of business. The Honorable James P. Jones, Chief Judge for the United States District Court, presiding. God save these United States and this Honorable Court. Please be seated and come to order.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased now to hear on behalf of the court the presentation of the petitioners for citizenship and their motion for admission to citizenship by Mr. Robert Schofield, of the Bureau of Citizenship and Immigration Services.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, if it would please this honorable court, I will present to you the 76 adult candidates for naturalization, as well as three children and their families at this time. Soltaraç Spirilari, Albania. Lindita Spirilari, Albania. Praveen Kirpal Chandramani, India. Claire Marie Plautz, Philippines. Nevin Maricic, Yugoslavia. Josipa Maricic, Yugoslavia. Sonisha Maricic, Yugoslavia. And Susana Maricic, Yugoslavia. Anya Dermagian, Turkey. Jason Kelly Johnson, Canada. Augustine Kobina Arthur, Ghana. Lorena Rodriguez Perez, Guatemala. Hung Wei Tsai, Taiwan. Andrei Stepanovich Rapinchuk, Belarus. Somphone Ziason, Laos. Ehsan Ilahi Seth, Pakistan. Daya Salih Askari, Iraq. Jae Son Jong, Korea. Stuart Martin Lawson, United Kingdom. Peter Chapelyuk, the Ukraine. Paul Lawrence King, United Kingdom. Lin Chu Fang Chen, Taiwan. Mary Boyd, Canada. Almut Dorothea Burchard, Germany. George Franz Lieberher, Germany. Esteban Fabrizio Rilova, Ecuador. Anthony Russell, United Kingdom. Gordana Kukol, Croatia. Jali Gu, China. Alan Rod Kalingan Mangawang, Philippines. Imri Wolf, Hungary. Lobsang Jingmei, India. Robert George Story, Canada. Gunilla Bakstrom, Sweden. Gloria Lucia Londono Floyd, Colombia. Adele Tarksafalvi, Hungary. Feng Zhang, China. Wijdan Shami Basit, Jordan. Priya Mahadevan, India. Alla Vladimirovna Zudilin, Belarus. Phat Minh Pham, Vietnam. Felipa Cruz, Mexico. Gita Karamianpour, Iran. Zeki Bayram Sisman, Turkey. Ruth Eugenia Alvarado, Guatemala. Estella Taktakin Laguda, Philippines. Gösta Heimer, Sweden. Christian Araujo França, Brazil. Slavisa Milanovic, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Tanja Milanovic, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Philip John Rowland, United Kingdom. Khalid Jana, Canada. Kumaraswamy Sivaratnam, Sri Lanka. Barbara Elsbeth King, Germany. Basharat Karim Zahidi, Bangladesh. David William Marshall, United Kingdom. Kirill Mikhailovich Kunakovich, Russia. Falana Lynn Bipath, Trinidad and Tobago. Minaxabin Joyatindra Balodia, India. Bokuria Machani Aljiji, Yugoslavia. Nazif Machani, Yugoslavia. Jean-Bas Rodi van Beek, the Netherlands. Lee T. Zaihason, Laos. Hassan Goma, United Kingdom. Mohamed Lamine Diop, Senegal. Harrison Richard Beatty, Liberia. Jillian Nita Connick, United Kingdom. Anastasia Vyacheslovna Kulikova, Russia. Hong Thi Nguyen, Vietnam. Shalini Santhmohan Kochicharil, India. Heather Dawn Wood, Canada. Matthew John Wood, Canada. Geraldine Mary Yemen, Canada. Susan Mary Lawson, United Kingdom. Alfonso Javier Guerrero, Mexico. Ellen Rose Danner, Germany. Sarah Kang Stauffer and family, formerly from China. Emily Jane Allen from Russia and her family. And Mei-Ling Olivia Tharp from China and her family. Your Honor, I present to you 76 adult applicants for naturalization and 3 children. Each of these applicants has been interviewed by an officer of United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. Each of these 79 applicants have been found eligible for naturalization at this time. So accordingly, Your Honor, I move that you grant the 4 petitions before this court for changes of name. And I ask that you admit the 79 applicants to citizenship and that you administer the oath of allegiance to these eligible candidates. Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Schofield. I'm very pleased on behalf of the United States District Court for the Western District of Virginia to grant the motions. And I will now administer the oath of citizenship. You'll raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty. Of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign or domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. Ladies and gentlemen, I hereby declare that you are citizens of the United States.
At this time, I would like to call the names of the new citizens and have them receive their certificates from the court. Mei-Ling Olivia Tharp, Emily Jane Allen, Sarah Kang Stauffer, Imre Wolf, Ellen Rose Collins, Alfonso Javier Guerrero, Susan Mary Lawson, Geraldine Mary Yemen, Matthew John Wood, Heather Dawn Wood, Shalini Santhmohan Cochachero, Hong Tri Nguyen, Anastasia Vyacheslovna Kulikova, Jillian Nita Connick, Harrison Richard Betty, Mohamed Lamin Diop, Hassan Goma, Lei T. Zaihanshason, Jean-Bas Rodi Van Beek, Nazif Machani, Bukuria Machani Aljiji, Mina Balodia, Falana Lynn Bipath, Kirill Mikhailovich Kunakovich, David William Marshall, Basharat Karim Zahidi, Barbara Elsbeth King, John Sivaratnam, Khalid Jana, Philip John Rowland, Tanya Milanovich, Slavisa Milanovich, Christian Araujo Franca, Gosta Heimer, Estella Taktikin Laguda, Ruth Eugenia Alvarado, Zeki Bayram Sisman, Gita Karimianpour, Philippa Cruz, Fatman Fan, Alla Vladimirovna Zudilin, Priya Mahadevan, Wijdan Shami Bassett, Feng Zheng, Adele Taxavalvi, Gloria Lucia Londono, Gunilla Bakstrom, Robert George Story, Lobsam Jingmei, Alan Rod Kalingan Mangawang, Jolly Gu, Gordana Kukol, Anthony Russell, Esteban Fabrizio Rilova, George Franz Lieberher, Almut Dorothea Burchard, Mary Boyd, Lin Chu Fong Chen, Paul Lawrence King, Peter Chapaluk, Stuart Martin Lawson, Jai Son Jong, Daya Sali Askari, Ehsan Elahi Seth, Somphone Zainasom, Andrei Stepanovich Rapinchuk, Hung Wei Sai, Lorena Rodriguez Perez, Augustine Cobina Arthur, Jason Kelly Johnson, Anya Demirjian, Susanna Marichik, Sanisha Marichik, Josepa Marichik, Nevin Marichik, Claire Marie Plautz, Praveen Kirpal Chandaramani, Lindita Spirulari, and Sotaraj Spirulari.
On behalf of the United States District Court for the Western District of Virginia, I want to thank the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, its executive director, Dan Jordan, its trustees, and its staff for this sponsorship of this wonderful occasion at Monticello. Absolutely. I also want to thank our speaker, I.M. Pei, for his wonderful remarks as well as his lifelong achievements. We have in attendance today two other judges, Norman Moon, a judge of the District Court for the Western District of Virginia. Judge Moon is a former chief judge of the Virginia Court of Appeals and is an outstanding member of our court. And Judge Moon, thank you very much for being here. It's a particular pleasure for me to recognize the other judge present, the Honorable J. Harvey Wilkinson III, a United States Circuit Judge and former Chief Judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. And I'm going to ask Judge Wilkinson if he might honor us with a few words.
New citizens, we welcome you. But we don't just welcome you. That word is a little too mild. We embrace you. We welcome you with open arms. We're going to give you a big bear hug. And believe me, in America, that's a very friendly expression. You refresh us. You renew us. Each and every one of you, we just can't do without you. You know, this is about my favorite holiday. Would you like to guess just why it's my favorite holiday?
Watermelon.
That's a good guess. It might just be the fireworks. And we're going to have a great display of fireworks at McIntyre Park this evening. I mean, from everything I understand, it's just going to be about the best yet. But as much as I love fireworks, that's not the favorite part of my day. Do you think it's the music? The band? You know, when I hear America the Beautiful and the Star-Spangled Banner, I just get chills down my spine. So I love the band, and I love the music, but as much as I love patriotic music, it's not the favorite part of my day. Well, might it be the Pledge of Allegiance? I just love it when the Boy Scouts lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I think it's a great moment, and it happens every year, and it's just about the best. But as much as I love the Pledge of Allegiance, it's not quite the favorite part of my day. The favorite part of my day is hearing from you. It's hearing from senior citizens among you who've waited all your lives, patiently and with perseverance, for this day to come about. And I love hearing from the young people. Sometimes new citizens have been as young as 4 and 5 years of age, and they've come up and waved flags and told us a little bit about America's future and what they're going to give to it. And I just want to say that this ceremony is a two-way street. It really isn't about us talking or lecturing to you. It's about you, and it's about what America means to you. So when Chief Judge Jones asks you to come up and say a few words, don't be bashful. Come on up. Make my day. And tell us a little bit about America so that we may never, ever take this great country of ours for granted. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Wilkinson. As many of you may know, there is a current vacancy on the United States Supreme Court, and Judge Wilkinson is being closely considered for that position. So this may be an historic occasion for a number of reasons. And we've got our fingers crossed. But no matter what, we're mighty proud of Judge Wilkinson. Now, I'm going to rise to Judge Wilkinson's challenge. And I'm going to call on those new citizens to express in a brief way their history and what it means to them to be new citizens. And I'm going to ask for volunteers, but I assure you that if I don't get any volunteers, we'll start calling that roll again. You're among your fellow citizens now, among friends, and we'd like to hear just a few words from anybody who cares to tell us what this day means to them. We're going to ask you to come up and just step up to the podium. Don't be shy now. I'm going to start calling. Anthony Russell.
Well, first off, I want to say this is absolutely amazing day. I mean, I had tears in my eyes up there. I think that tells you how much it means to me. I've lived in the U.S. for about 13 years, so this was not something that I rushed into. It was a very considered and deliberate decision, and I just think I'm joining the greatest country in the world, and I'm very, very grateful for that opportunity.
Thank you.
My name is Barbara King, and I have a feeling I am the oldest permanent resident in this group. I have been here in this country for 40 years. I'm a slow learner, and I'm slow to make big decisions. And it wasn't without the encouragement of my husband and his persistence, he's also German heritage, that I am here today. And my background is of... I grew up in a war-torn country, and it was American soldiers that threw around the first Hershey bars, chocolate bars, and I will never forget that because I really like chocolate. And it's usually German chocolate. But so I have always had this love for America, and when I was very young, 23, I came to this country. I had a job, and I was working here and married an American citizen, and my children are born here. So I'm very happy and very proud and very moved to be here. I can't believe I'm speaking up here. And I just want to say thank you to this country and to everyone here. Thank you.
Well, I'm also very honored to be here, especially at Thomas Jefferson's house at Monticello. I mean, what a better place to have this than Monticello. And also want to say I've been here quite a while, and it's, you know, been in Charleston. I've been up to Monticello quite a few times. But this time it's for citizenship, and it's definitely pretty amazing. And also that... I'm a little bit emotional, but it's been about 2 years, and I've been married, and now hopefully in the next... couple months, I'll be able to bring my wife and daughter to the United States as well. So.
Yes, good morning. My name is Daria Askari. I am from Iraq. Several years ago, I just thought when I was 17 years old, I just thought that someday I will visit America. And after that, what happened, I visited all Europe. I've been in Sweden and Germany and come back to my country, Iraq. And for some reason, I just came to the United States, to this great country, and I start my life with my children. And this is a great day for me to be U.S. citizen. And I know many friends here, a good friend, like Frank Marshman is here, and there is many people I know in Texas because I'm moving from Texas to this area, and I was working on camera repairing, and I learned a lot of stuff, a lot of things here in the United States, and thank you very much. Thank you.
We need some more.
How about, yes, sir?
My name is, Jason Johnson. I'm from Canada and have been in the States for about 13 years or so. And studied at the university, so I've been extremely privileged to both graduate on the lawn and also now do the ceremony here. So that experience has been pretty fantastic. One thing I'd relay to you when I was probably 4 years old, running around my grandmother's house in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, saying, J.C., Jason is going to New York, Grandma. I'm going to New York. And that's been the sort of focus of my life since I was probably this tall. And I feel like today I've in a way, finally made it. I think I was fascinated probably later in my early teens thinking and reading about an architect named Frank Lloyd Wright. What I loved about Frank Lloyd Wright is he was talking about democracy, talking about independence, talking about freedom constantly. But he also talked about Thomas Jefferson. And I was really kind of confused because, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright was a modern architect talking about Jefferson. So I think when I first came to Monticello, I expected something completely different. How could Frank Lloyd Wright, a modernist, be fascinated with Jefferson and talk about Jefferson as if it was a hero of his? But what I'd learned through a kind of deeper understanding was that Frank Lloyd Wright was embodying the spirit of Jefferson. He wasn't trying to imitate Jefferson. He wasn't trying to be nostalgic about this place, but he was trying to interpret it and embody a kind of a spirit of creativity and knowledge. And that's what I love about America, is that that kind of thing can be fostered here at this place. And the fact that Ayn Pei is here and also embodies that kind of continuum, that spirit, like no other country can. So I feel privileged and want to thank my family and friends for being here. And that's it. Thank you.
Fabricio.
This is very emotional for me, so I'm going to try to keep it brief. I just want to thank you for this opportunity. I was born and raised in Ecuador, but my heart and my spirit is with the U.S. I love this country. I'm so proud to become a citizen. It's a place where you can dream and you can make your dreams happen. I just hope I can step to the platter and live up to the expectations just like Ayn Pei did. Thank you very much.
Any of the families of the children who have become new citizens today would like to say anything about their experience or what they hope for their child? Can we urge any of those? Second row. Anyone else, ladies and gentlemen? This would be a good opportunity for you. Well, I won't call names then. I think we had a good representative expression of the joy of becoming a new citizen. It is a wonderful day for you, but it really is a wonderful day for those of us who have been citizens. Because our country, from its founding, has grown and prospered through new citizenship. This country remains on its 229th birthday a beacon for men and women throughout the world who crave liberty and freedom under the rule of law. And it has been an honor for me to preside over your transformation as new citizens. We'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance by the Boy Scouts of America and the Girl Scouts of the United States of America. You'll stand, ladies and gentlemen. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We'll now have the closing of the court by the Honorable Wayne Pike, United States Marshal for this district.
By the direction of His Honor, this United States District Court stands adjourned. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated.
And now for the foundation, I congratulate the new citizens and their families. This is truly your day. I've been asked to announce that the League of Women Voters is standing by the table to your right to accommodate anyone who would like to register to vote today. So and I would also note there will be a wreath-laying ceremony 10 minutes from now at the gravesite, which is to the west of where we're seated. We want to thank our distinguished speaker, Mr. Pei. I don't think we've ever had more moving remarks on this occasion. So thanks once again, Mr. Pei. And what a special privilege to have Mrs. Pei and the Pei's daughter and son-in-law and grandson Matthew with us as well. We thank all of our program participants, as well as the many individuals and groups who assisted us, and of course, all of you who came to Monticello on this patriotic occasion. We're guessing that there are well over 2,000 individuals here on the West Lawn today. Our special appreciation goes to the Edward W. and Betty Knight Scripps Foundation for their generous support of this event. The ceremony concludes now with the playing of the national anthem by the Charlottesville Municipal Band under the direction of James W. Simmons. Please stand. That concludes the program. Thanks for coming.
Mr. Page?